Have you ever gotten stuck when it comes to branding? The colors, the fonts, the icons, oh my. Welcome to the Biz Essentials podcast. I'm your host, Veronica, and I'm an entrepreneur just like you. I, for one, have gotten stuck on branding, specifically logos, many times. Today, we're going to be speaking with Kelly Whitman.
Kelly is the owner of Whit & Company, a brand strategy and design studio that helps small business owners showcase their expertise through consistent and cohesive branding.
And we think about having a brand that supports our business. It's really getting in touch with what we want that business to be. So identifying what I like to call your brand foundation, so that when you do decide on a logo, you can have that clarity in terms of how you want your brand to look, so that it helps support that experience that you want your brand to have when people have that touch point with your business.
So if you just started a business and you need to know how to start a brand strategy, or if you've been in business a while and you're not sure if you need to rebrand, stick around and we'll talk to Kelly right after this.
Tony Robbins once said, "No matter how many mistakes you make or how slow you progress, you are still way ahead of everyone who isn't trying." This is the Biz Essentials. You want to grow, get ahead, keep the spark. Here you'll get valuable insights and empowerment to grow personally and professionally. Isn't it about time you turn your dreams into successful passion projects? Learn how to be productive, be successful, be joyful, and more importantly, be yourself. The Be Essentials. This is the Biz Essentials. And this is your host, Veronica of Veronica Ventures.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Kelly.
I'm excited to have you here because what you do is so important and vital to all of our industries. So before we get started with the podcast, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
My name is Kelly. I am a brand strategist and designer. I own a branding studio just north of Minneapolis, Minnesota called Whit & Company. And we work with service providers and folks that are selling themselves or an expertise and really help them to communicate their business and their brand consistently and cohesively so that they can have a brand that supports their business and reaching their version of success.
Branding is something that affects all of us. And I'm not quite sure that everyone really puts the amount of effort that they should when they're coming up with their branding strategy. Those of us who are starting out or maybe thinking about rebranding, what's the first step in kind of determining your brand?
Great question. So oftentimes, I think it was kind of alluding to what you were saying, is that we can jump into the quote unquote fun part of the colors and the fonts and, you know, more of the visual aspect. But when we think about having a brand that supports our business, it's really getting in touch with what we want that business to be. So identifying what I like to call your brand foundation, which is who are you serving? So getting really clear on that perfect for you client, you know, the person that if you could clone them, you would, getting clear on why the work that you're doing matters and what exactly that you are offering, you know, what is that transformation? And then how do you want people to feel when they experience your brand? And all of those four pillars really help to clarify and then identify and guide the visuals so that when you do decide on a logo, or if you're going through a rebranding process, when you realize that your visuals aren't serving you, you can have that clarity in terms of how you want your brand to look. So based off of things like who you're serving and why the work matters and how you want people to feel, you can pick colors with intention. You can pick the fonts and the typography with intention. You can pick a logo and the logo structure with intention and be strategic about it so that it helps support that experience that you want your brand to have when people have that touch point with your business.
Interesting. So you're saying that before we even think about colors, logos, all of that stuff, we really need to hone in on our target audience so that we can kind of direct that towards our target audience.
Exactly. Because if we think about it, if you dive right into the fonts and the colors and picking a type of logo without identifying who you really want to serve, what happens if you pick colors that are super bright and maybe more feminine in style, and then you decide that you want to target corporate men? The visuals aren't going to be attractive necessarily to that ideal client. that's why it's super, super important to at least have some type of understanding and clarity around who you want to serve, because your visuals, the brand visuals, are supposed to support your business and they're supposed to bring ease and enjoyment into your business. And when they're done with intentionality and strategically, then they will fulfill that, right? And they're not working against you. They end up working for you and making things a lot easier, which is the goal.
Right. While we're speaking of colors, when we're choosing colors for our brand, what's some things that we want to keep in mind?
I go back to this fourth brand pillar, the how do you want your brand to be experienced? So thinking about different adjectives, right? What do you want them to feel when they come in contact with your brand? So whether that's jumping on your website or seeing a post on social media or attending an event and meeting you in person, you know, every really visual or contact touch point that someone has with your brand, thinking about the adjectives that you want them to think about and to feel. So for an example, if you want them to feel excited and fun, the colors that you can and may select for your brand would be probably more saturated and bright and bold, versus if you want someone to feel more elegant and sophisticated and calm, colors will be less saturated, maybe a little bit more muted, toned down, more earthy. So when we think about how we want that feeling and really put the pen to paper and structure or bring that clarity and put the adjectives down, then we can have colors that really evoke those feelings that then bring out the feelings and the experience that we want our brand to have. Color plays such a strong role and can play such a strong role in our visuals. And I don't think we give it enough credit. We can just pick ones that we like, you know, oh, those look good together. But when you step back and really think, okay, how do I want people to feel and how can my colors help evoke and promote those feelings? Then again, it goes back to this idea of your brand really supporting your business and that experience that you want people to have.
That makes a lot of sense. Because like if you were to have, let's say, a meditation business, you're not going to have black and red on your website because that's not exactly peaceful.
Exactly. And, you know, oftentimes, and myself included, I did this when I had first started our home renovation blog. I just picked colors that I thought that looked good together and I didn't really think about it. And we don't, which is fine. And, you know, that's what happens and that's okay. But when we know better, we do better, right? Color psychology is a huge field. There's a lot of research done about how colors can help elicit and evoke certain feelings. When we take that into consideration, then we can be more intentional about those colors and really have them support what we're trying to do with our brand.
I made the same error when I was doing my personal brand, Veronica Ventures, because purple is my favorite color. So everything's purple. Luckily for me, purple is elegant and passionate and good. So it all worked, but that's not why I picked it. So kind of embarrassed about that. The blue, the blue for the Biz Essentials was intentionally picked because blue is associated with like confidence and things like that. Would you say that colors not only depend on your target audience, but also the industry that you're in?
Yeah, I think that can be taken into consideration. With any business, we want to take a look at what industry and what our competitors are doing. Color in that instance can be used as a differentiator. Going back to your example of the meditation, if a lot of people are using green and maybe some soft blues, you can differentiate yourself if you wanted to by using a few different colors. Saturation can play a huge role. And what that means is the level of the brightness, your blue background, it's a very saturated blue, right? It's very bright. It's very bold. If we look at the background in my screen, that green, it's a lot more soft and more of that kind of neutral. That plays to the feeling that you want to evoke. So saturation can play a role too. And how we choose colors based off of, you know, what the competitors are doing and doing something different. Or if you want to get an idea of what people are doing and that's maybe the standard, then you can kind of go in line with what the standard is and what the expectation is. And part of this process, especially if we're just getting started, is just taking action and seeing what's resonating with our audience and then also what's resonating with us. I know I said in the beginning, you know, it's important to find out who your ideal client is so that you can pick visuals that align with them. But I think just as important is making sure that our brand visuals and our strategy is something that excites us and that we'll show up for, right? So if you pick colors that are exactly what you believe that your ideal client will like, but you don't like them, then it's going to be kind of hard to show up for your business and your brand with excitement. So it's that balance of having something that will be attractive to who we're targeting, but then also taking our consideration into mind because it is our business after all. And we do want it to be something that we like and that we're excited to show up for.
Would you say that color is kind of like the first step in aligning yourself with your brand? Is that where you would start with most of your clients? Or would you go with a logo or font first?
A little bit of both. So once we dive into that strategy, so really getting clear on those four pillars that I had mentioned earlier, I will pull together a mood board. So what that is and what that looks like is going through Pinterest and other resources like Dribbble, which is a designer's resource, and Behance, another place where designers will include work, and then also just good old Google search bar in terms of finding images and colors and graphics that are aligned with that question of how I want people to feel when they experience my brand. So pulling together a variety of images, and from there, a color palette will kind of naturally start to take shape, and then going into the logo. So there's kind of a two-step process when we think about color. It's understanding how it's going to be used in your business. So yes, color will be most likely injected into your logo, but then it's also used in graphics and it'll be used on your website. So one of the pieces that I would encourage listeners to think about in this process of choosing your colors is also to understand how are you using colors in your business. So where are you showing up on social media? What does your website look like? And do you want the colors to be used very sparingly or to have them be the prominent piece of your website or your social media graphics? And when you can understand how your brand visuals will be used, it really helps also to guide the direction in terms of the type of visuals and the color palette and the typography and really the rest of your visual brand.
Absolutely. For those of you who are listening, take a tip from the mistake that I made, because I said all of my stuff was purple. It makes it really hard to make different graphics that don't all look exactly the same. I struggled with that a lot. So accent colors, definitely focus on those.
Accent colors are a beautiful thing. Yes.
Yes. And so, okay, so we've got our color set. What do you want to think about when you're thinking about your logo?
The biggest mistake that I see, and again, I did this myself, is not thinking about scale when it comes to logo. Oftentimes we can want to cram a bunch of things into the logo and maybe some graphics, and it looks great when it's on our computer monitor, but then when it's actually scaled down, it's not legible. So I would say scale / legibility is the biggest, my number one tip in terms of what to think about when you're creating or hiring out your logo design. And on that would be having logo variations. Oftentimes we'll have a primary logo, which is the main thing. And then we have logo variations, which help us to have a legible logo in a variety of use cases. So then this gets back to what I was saying earlier of really identifying how will your visuals and how will your visual identity be used within your brand. So where are you showing up? What are those various touch points that someone would have with your business? And then when you understand that, you can make sure you have a logo that is legible in that use case. For example, if I have a logo that's very horizontal, when it's scaled down to maybe say a profile picture on Facebook, because it's long, it's not going to scale down very well. And it'll end up being super teeny tiny when it's in a profile picture versus if I have my primary logo, which is more horizontal, I can then have a logo variation, which is maybe stacked. So the words are stacked on top of each other so that when it's scaled down, it's still legible. So thinking about, again, the different use cases and places that the logo will show up and making sure that we have a variation and a layout that is specifically for that type of use and making sure that it still can be read and that it's still legible, because the whole point of our logo, right, is for brand awareness so that when someone sees it, they think about our brand and they think about the adjectives that we want them to feel when they experience the brand. So making sure that it can be read and that it is legible in across all of those touch points is very important.
When you're thinking about your logo, how much effort do you really need to put into making sure that it means something? Now, let me backtrack there a little bit. I realize that logos are all going to mean something, but you know, like there are certain icons. For example, my personal brand, my favicon is a phoenix because I was very much about transformation and things like that. But there's a lot of logos out there that don't look like anything. So Where do we want to go with being unique and then also kind of bringing in imagery to target our audience?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think it depends on the business and what's important to you. So for example, I worked with a wedding photographer out in Las Vegas, and her aunt had passed away. Butterflies, they were her aunt's favorite animal. Every photo shoot that she did, she always saw a butterfly. So she wanted to incorporate that into her logo. There was a story behind it. and it made sense and it had significance to her. So we incorporated that in. I think when it has some kind of purpose and intention, then to add in, you know, an animal or some type of graphic, it can be helpful and can be another representation of your brand. Like similar to you with the Phoenix, you know, you liked what it represented and it had some significance to you, and you could clearly communicate the purpose behind it. It wasn't just haphazardly, right? It wasn't just a thing that, oh, this looks cool and we'll add it in. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think it just depends on what feels good for you. One of the questions that I always ask my clients before we get into the design phase is there any graphics or animals or, you know, things like that, that have significance to you that you want to work in to the logo design? So just maybe asking yourself that question and seeing what comes up. And if there's not, you don't have to have a graphic. I think there's beauty in having the simplicity of just text only. And it generally can be a lot more versatile than in all of the different use cases. And if you have something that's a little bit more intricate with a lot of different visuals and graphics that are included in the actual logo itself.
I would have never thought of having a text-based only logo, but I guess there's a lot of those out there now that I'm thinking of it. Like Coca-Cola, for one. And mm-hmm. I'm a huge Coca-Cola fan. And to your point, they do have various variations of, right? Because they have the Coca-Cola and then they have Coke and then just so much to go with, even just having text-based. When somebody wants to work with a specialist like yourself, how much information do we really need to know? Because like when I've been starting a brand or a business, I'm like, I don't know, this is what I want to do. Help me. How much information do we need to bring to someone like you when we're ready to brand our business?
Yeah, that's a really great question. It depends on what your goal is and how much clarity you have on your own business. I've worked with new businesses, so you don't necessarily need to be established in order to work with a brand designer. That being said, it is an investment. So not just time, but also money. So it's not for everyone. And if you're unsure of things like who you're working with, who that ideal client is for you, or really what you're going to be offering, I don't necessarily think it's the best idea to invest in a brand designer that goes through the full brand strategy and design process, because you don't have that experience yet and it can be a big investment. And there's nothing wrong with going to sites like Fiverr or 99 Designs, or at Witten Company, we offer template logos as well. The purpose behind that is you don't know yet. And in order to get to know your brand, you need to take action and need to work with people. And I primarily work with service providers. So it's taking on those clients and getting clear on who you really do want to serve. So I would say, in order to get started, how do you know if you're ready to go in and do the full branding process? Having clarity on that ideal client. So who is that perfect for you person that if you could clone, you would. And it doesn't need to be like, I know everything about this person, but it needs to be a general idea. And then what kind of services are you going to be offering? And then also just the use case of how your visual brand will be used can vary dramatically based off of how you're showing up. So if you come to me and say that you're a personal brand and you want to be a speaker and you're going to be writing a book and that's your primary revenue source, the type of logo that we'll create will be specifically for like showing up on presentations and making sure that it looks good on maybe a PDF for your ebooks that you're writing, versus if you are a service provider and your primary marketing strategy is going to be social media, different type of structure, right? Or if you sell products and that's what you want to go all in on, then a logo that looks good on packaging, right? So different types of use cases. So that's why it's important to have at least a general idea of what you're going to be offering. It doesn't have to be that crystal clear, but I would say to be like 60 to 70% there, right? If we were to think about having 100% business where we know exactly what we want, I don't know if that even is feasible. I've been doing this now for 5 years and I still am not there. But I think just having some clarity and understanding of really those foundational pieces that I had talked about in the beginning will help you get started on that branding process and make sure that you can do it with intentionality and strategy. You don't want to go through that process and then 6 months from now realize that I really don't want to go and work with this type of person, or these aren't the services that I want to offer. Now my logo doesn't work in 90% of where it needs to work. So I think having that clarity is really helpful.
Interesting. So where I would have thought that before you start any business, you have to have all of this decided. It sounds like maybe it's better to start working with your ideal client, get that really honed in so that you know where to go with your branding.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And that's not to say that you don't need branding to get started. I wholeheartedly think that you do. But I think the question, right, is when should you invest? Thinking about those four pieces, I would recommend putting something down on paper, and that's where you start, right? And then you work with someone, and then you revisit those four pillars, and then you work with another person, or you sell another product, and then you revisit those pillars. So refining that until you get to a place where it's kind of repeatable, right? And you start bringing in the same type of person, and you're realizing that's what lights you up, or you're selling the same type of product or service. It's clarifying it as you're taking action. And then you can think, okay, I've got a pretty good understanding of where my business stands and what I want my brand to stand for. Now it's time to have the visuals to really support and bring that vision to life and really accentuate the personality that my brand is starting to have and starting to take shape.
Let's say we've started, we have a logo and we're going along, and all of a sudden we realize, okay, maybe our logo doesn't quite fit where we are now. How do you determine, or when do you know that you need to rebrand?
If you get the inkling, it's worth exploring, right? Getting curious on why that is and trying to identify the specific pieces. So is it because the logo isn't showing up or translating well to the marketing channels that you're showing up for? Is it because the colors are off and they're not really evoking the certain feelings that you want your business and your brand to have? Is it because you've shifted and pivoted who you are serving or the offerings that you're having, and the brand really doesn't reflect that pivot? So understanding what isn't working. And once you can pinpoint that, sometimes, you know, if it's just a simple color fix, that might be something that you want to do yourself, or maybe you have someone come in on an hourly basis and kind of play around with colors. Versus if you realize that it's a pretty big shift that you need, then it's time to go through the rebranding process. You know, oftentimes in our own business, if we're DIYing a lot of stuff, you know, I'll work with clients that have kind of duct taped a bunch of things together. You know, they'll create an offer and they'll create a brand for it and do some colors, and then they'll offer something else. And then that kind of has its own brand. And then they have some social media stuff, and it's kind of all piecemeal together. Totally nothing wrong with that. You know, you do what you need to do to get your work out there and to work with people and get that revenue coming in. And then when we feel like we can get our head above water, and then we take a step back and we realize, oh crap, nothing's consistent anymore because I've just been following where the path takes me. And then you realize that you have these inconsistencies and you just really want to kind of wrap everything together, have that cohesive feel. So when someone does experience your brand on social media, and then they jump to your website, and then maybe they go to a different social media channel, and then they read an opt-in that you have on your website for email subscribers, everything feels like it's coming from the same business, and they can really get a sense for how you are and what they will experience when they interact with you.
Let's say my logo is perfect. I'm not saying that it is, but let's say my logo is perfect. Is there ever a time that companies need to rebrand just because things like that get outdated? Do logos even get outdated?
Yes and no. The goal is that your logo is timeless and that it will last as your business grows. It will grow with you as your business grows. That's not always the case. I'm not a huge believer in creating logos that are trendy because then they can feel outdated. When we think about doing design trends and incorporating them into our brand, I would always recommend doing something that's trendy, like in a social media graphic or maybe in a PDF or an ebook or something that's easily changed, rather than your logo. That would kind of be a sub tip. Try not to have a trendy logo, because then, you know, 5 years from now, or maybe even a couple of years from now, because things go so quickly, it feels outdated. The goal would always be to not have that be the case. That being said, coming back to how do you know if you're ready for that rebrand, is thinking about, is your logo serving your business? Really asking, and this might be a great opportunity if you have been in business for a while and you're wondering if your logo is feeling outdated, to reach out to your community and reach out to your audience and your past clients and get them to provide some feedback. Looking at my logo, what feelings and what adjectives come up for you, and seeing if that's still aligned with how you want your brand to be experienced. And if there is some disjointing there, then perhaps it's time to go back and revisit and see. And it might even just be a small tweak. I've worked with brands in the past where they had a wrapped van and they had their logo, so they didn't want to go in and update it and have to rewrap all of their vans. But we just went in and tweaked what they currently had, and just different things and minor updates that you can do to freshen it up while still maintaining the integrity of what that original logo is.
I've learned so much today. I think I need to reprocess all of my branding and make sure that it's cohesive. I need to tweak my Veronica Ventures brand because, like you said, I started making graphics and then I was like, oh, crud, this is bad. So once you start working with it, obviously there are some tweaks that need to be done. Is there anything that I missed? Because I feel like I've asked you a million questions, but is there anything that you want to touch base on that I might have missed for our audience? Because there's so much, and it's such an important topic.
Yes, it is such an important topic, and it can be overwhelming. So I think the last thing, just to wrap up, is you're not quote unquote doing it wrong. You're not going to miss out on business because your logo isn't where you want it to be. I think we can put so much pressure on any one individual piece of our brand, and we forget that it all works together. It all comes together to help tell this story. So take the pressure off and just know that your brand is evolving, just like you as a human, just like you as a business, and it's okay for it to change. It's okay for it to update. And in fact, I think that when it does, that means that you're doing things right because your business is then growing. And as long as we keep in mind that overarching question of, is my brand supporting my business? We should be good to go.
For those of us who need someone like you, where can people connect with you?
Connect with me on our website. It's witandcompany.com. We have a weekly newsletter that goes out every Friday called the Branded Chat. So if you really like learning about branding and business and how your brand can support your business, that's a great place to connect and learn more.
Fantastic. And I'll be sure to put all of that in the show notes for those of you who are listening and driving at the same time. I know I've taken notes on my leg before when I'm wearing shorts. Yeah. Don't do that. I'll put it in the show notes. Kelly, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show because, like I said, I feel like this is such an important topic that doesn't necessarily get talked about as often as it should. Thank you so much for your time and for all of the valuable information that you provided for us.
Thanks, Veronica. I really appreciate the conversation.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are listening, stick around and I'll be back to wrap up the show right after this. I'm so glad that Kelly was able to come on the show because branding is so important to any business of any size. Even if you're a solopreneur, even if you just have your own personal brand, making sure you have a brand strategy that aligns with your values and your target audience is essential. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you learned something. I know I did. Talk to you soon, and I'll see you next time on The Biz Essentials.
You've been listening to The Biz Essentials. Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information, learning how to be productive, be successful, be joyful, and more importantly, be yourself, and turning your dreams into successful passion projects. By listening to this show, you've already set into motion the most important part, starting. So it's important to catch the next episode. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. In the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Veronica Ventures and at The Biz Essentials. Till next time, this is The Biz Essentials.
Today's quote of the day is, branding is the process of connecting good strategy with good creativity. Marty Neumeier. Thank you so much for joining me today, guys. Hope you're having a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.